Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Continuing with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Going to catch up with Alex Cupper in just a couple of minutes, color analyst, former offensive lineman at the University of Louisville. We're going to talk about the Cardinals' season heading forward and what we may expect from them as far as a bounce back. You know, Louisville's one of those programs that if you go back until Howard Schnellenberger got hired, and then it was Browning-Nagel, and that was really the first time on a major level that we all looked at Louisville and went, oh, are they a player? Because they'd already been lower, and I'm calling by like 60s and 70s. They'd been a lower division football program, and then they just exploded. And they've been worth paying attention to for the better part of about three decades now. I was stunned by how bad it went last season. I knew you don't get better by losing Lamar Jackson, but you're not supposed to look like that. And there just seemed to be a lack of urgency or seriousness or organization. But that was the view from the outside. We're going to head up to Louisville right now and talk to a man who was there for every single snap of it. Again, former offensive lineman. And you may have heard him calling games before for Louisville as the color analyst. Up there it is, Alex Cupper. Alex, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Chuck. How are you?
Doing all right. You were on the line there maybe when I was bringing you on, and I said that I expected a little bit of a step back in 2018, but I didn't have any sort of idea that it would go like that. What was your expectation, and at what point in the season did you realize that the ship was underwater?
Yeah, I mean, you and me both. I can reiterate all that you were saying when it comes to just how shocked people were and kind of the dismay that was the 2018 Louisville football season. It started so weird because you go up against a titan and, the literally one of the two icons essentially in the sport in Alabama in the first game. And, I mean, you see yourself against them. You know you're probably not going to win, but you just kind of want to wait and see, how well your players react to it. And there was guys competing and, came away from that game. They made a ton of mistakes, but stuff that you would think a seasoned and tenured coaching staff would be able to fix, which it's found that we found out that's not what we had in the coaching staff. But it was probably Virginia time frame that game when you got through the two weaker opponents and got sloppy wins, and then you went to Virginia and just played absolutely terrible. That's when I knew there was something majorly wrong, because you knew the schedule was only going to get harder.
And again, I'm not asking you to relive the misery. I'm just looking for some insight here, because I had seen a comment by, I believe it was a member of the Board of Regents or the trustees at Louisville, who had said, like on a Monday, yeah, we're not firing Coach Petrino because we don't have the money. And then like 4 days later, he's fired. Did that move specifically catch you off guard? Because again, I had been told by someone who should know, yeah, we don't have the money to pay him off.
No, I mean, there's several different personalities and kind of cliques, if you will, in the city of Louisville. And there's still a ton of, I guess people being a little offset by the Tom Jurich debacle and what people feel is gospel and what isn't. And when it comes to things like that, there's obviously two different camps. The money, the people that look at the money and the dollars that were associated with that $14 million buyout, and the people that know that the cost of doing business and knowing that you have to make a move or you set yourself back, years and years and years. So that was, one person's opinion who was in a position to make a, make a statement that probably shouldn't have. But no, from what I was hearing, it was going to happen. It was just when. In the latter part of the season.
Wrapping up with Alex Cupper, former Louisville Cardinals offensive lineman and color analyst for the radio broadcast up yonder. Scott Satterfield, there were some Louisville fans, and I don't blame them. You always want the prodigal son. You always want him to come back home. But after Brohm decided to stay over at Purdue, I talked to some Louisville fans that I know, and they were referring to Scott Satterfield almost as a consolation prize. And I'm like, you just got one of the real, real short list coaches, in my opinion, in America. What's your take on Scott Satterfield? And did you hear any of those same sort of things from the fan base after Brohm said no?
Uh, I did, and it's just like anything else in life. You don't like being told no. I mean, as a Louisville fan, you want everybody that you go after and target. Obviously, you don't target Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban, but a guy that played for your program and chose you over prestigious programs like Notre Dame in his college career, you think that was a home run hire. And for several different circumstances, none that we probably need to get into, he decided to stay committed to Purdue. And so there was a ton of uncomfortable people after that. And I think anybody you hired outside of a major head coach, it was going to be a letdown. Now, whether that's right or wrong, mm-hmm. It's Coach Satterfield's in a position to prove everybody wrong or the people that like to hire right. So I think he's done a lot of good things, said a lot of good things, built a pretty solid staff to put a foundation together to get this thing going, get the ship back above water. Because in my opinion, and I being part of the program to help build it and get that thing going and back online, I don't think the ship has sunk, but it was definitely sinking last year, and he's got a tall task to get it back above water.
One of the biggest surprises, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about Juwan Pass. One of the biggest surprises for me last year was the inconsistency and honestly just the level of play overall. Juwan Pass is a kid that I know was a huge recruit. Everybody knew how raw he was, but I was thinking a redshirt year, a year to play a little bit, but mostly watch and learn some more. And then that would be a third year learning how to play quarterback from Bobby Petrino. Alex, I was stunned that Juwan didn't look more capable or prepared last year on the field.
Oh, you and me both, and about 99% of the Louisville fan base. In another game, I mean, when he came out in Alabama and he hung in there against a great defense and made some good throws and did some good things, also made some boneheaded plays, but you feel like you could live with him if he can fix them. I think honestly, just know, kind of understanding how the season played out for him. Juwan Pass, he like you said, he's got all the physical traits you'd want to. It's all about your commitment to the game. Are you committed to becoming a great football player, even a very solid quarterback and a leader? Because last year he was not. He was not committed. You could see on the field. You could see off the field by his emotional stance. When certain things didn't go his way, had a tough year, just being juggled around first and foremost. But with his play on the field, it did not seem like he was a committed football player to being the best player he could be. So if that changes, and if Coach Satterfield can get that, and Frank Ponce get into his head and get him to understand the importance of and committing to knowing exactly how the offense is supposed to run and knowing what the defense is going to do to you and how you need to conduct yourself as a football player and a student athlete, I think he could make a 180. I really do. But until they get that commitment from him, it's not going to be possible. It's got to start with him.
Last question for you, Alex, and it's about Malik Cunningham. He's a freshman out in Montgomery, Alabama last year. And I see football skills. I just don't think playing quarterback in a conference like the ACC might be one of those skills. Is there maybe a future for him like Reggie Bonifon, who kind of – pitched in and did a little bit of like five or six different things for Malik, but I really don't think that even more time and coaching is going to turn him into a good quarterback.
The same cannot be. So what I just said about Juwan Pass is the complete opposite. You could tell just by his fire and energy and engagement in the game that Malik Cunningham wanted to do everything he could to help the team, whether that be running the football or trying to throw the football. I think he lacks some physical traits when it comes to the throwing part, just natural touch and accuracy with the football, just in his motion alone. But I'm with you. He is a football player. He's a raw, down and dirty. Wants to get it done for your football team. And to be honest with you, there's always spots for guys like that. Reggie was one. You find him in the slot. You can put him in as an H back. Do something with him. Get him the ball. And let him try and make plays for you. But if he's the guy that they need to conduct an offense, I don't think they're going to be scared to put him out there. Me personally, I won't expect him to light up the scoreboard with his arm. It would be more a run-heavy offense, play-action, bootleg kind of thing. So there's several ways that it can go, but I think right now they're just trying to establish a culture within the whole team, not just the quarterback room.
Last thing, Alex, and you're a former offensive lineman, and 100 million years ago when my shoulders worked, I was too. When's the last time you maxed out your bench, and what was it?
Well, today's day and age, I try and keep it as light as I can. I can still work up to 315 with three plates on each side, but not for many reps. I try and stay in the 225, 275 range and just try and do more repetitions and keep my heart rate up so I don't balloon up into the 300 pound range. So
yeah,
my bench is stable. But it's also declining, I would say.
Yeah, you see, former linemen go one of two ways. You either start packing it on more than you ever did when you played, or you try to stay a little bit slimmer. Alex, appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you.
No problem. Have a good one.
All right, Alex Cupper, again, former O lineman up there at Louisville and the color analyst on their radio broadcast. You know Randy Cross? You know who that is? Played at UCLA back in the 70s, late 70s, and he was a draft pick of the 49ers, and he wound up winning, I think he won three of the Niners rings, of all the Super Bowl rings they got. I think Randy was there for three, and he's a College Football Hall of Famer. He's a real good dude. If you go Google Randy Cross UCLA or Randy Cross 49ers, maybe that would be better. Early in his career, he had one of the best, worst mustaches you've ever seen in anywhere. So that was Randy back in the day, but Randy also was about 290 pounds when he played. I saw Randy a couple of years after. Actually, he had moved over into media, and I'd seen him right after his career ended, but then I hadn't seen him for probably 10 years. And I was at a golf tournament, and he was playing as one of the celebrities in the golf tournament, and I didn't recognize him. Matt Stinchcomb, who we have on regularly, you see on the SEC Network, Matt Stinchcomb played in the league at about 295. I bet you Stinch, and he's also, you know, a legit like 6'5 or 6'6. I bet he's about 235 right now. Would you stretch that out over 6'5? David Pollack, there is a picture. You talk about guys going one way or the other, and it used to not be this way. And I'll tell you a story about Shaquille O'Neal in just a second. But David Pollack is a guy that when he first had retired and transitioned to media, I was on the first show David Pollack ever did. And I remember talking to him. He walked in the room. And I said, how much do you weigh? And he said, I think he said he's about 220. And I said, what'd you play at? He said, at my biggest, I was 290. But in the league, remember, they backed him off the line of scrimmage because Cincinnati ran an odd front. And so when he got drafted by the Bengals, they moved him off the line of scrimmage, turning him into a stand-up linebacker. And he said, I trimmed down a little bit, but I was still on the line of scrimmage so much because they had one role for David, go get the quarterback. If you see David today, every time I see him, I tell him, like, have a donut, dude. And David does not want donuts. I get it. He doesn't want cookies. He doesn't want anything like that. But I look at him, and I'm like, there is a picture that you can go search online right now. And it would be, I think it would be 2004 University of Georgia football team workout photo. There's a picture where there must be like 50 of the kids on the team. And David is up in the front row, like over on the right side. And as I recall, he's holding like a 45-pound plate. And he is this giant Godzilla-looking dude. And then when his career was over, this is the big change. It used to be, if you go back, you know, 20, 25 years, Randy was an exception. But most guys, if you played line and once you quit playing, you ballooned, man. You blew up. You got huge. And there's so much about whether it's the organic food or just general health understanding and education and knowledge today that we didn't have. So many other guys go the other way. Shaquille O'Neal, who does his podcast actually across the hall from where I work every day, I saw him maybe a year ago. He's walking in, and he had a giant – like the Tupperware salad bowls? Like you're going to the neighborhood, the HOA meeting, and you're in charge of bringing, you know, whatever, and you get that giant plastic Tupperware bowl. Shaq shows up with one just full of sliced fruit. And he just sits there and eats it. And he's talking about guys that he played with or guys that were in the NBA just before. He says, bigger guys, we're dropping. He's like, I don't want to do that. And so there's a lot more attention to nutrition these days than there used to be, because it used to be like, I played in the NFL for 9 years. I have earned living this lifestyle, eating whatever I want, not working out anymore. I did all that for 25 years. I'm not lifting a weight now. That's really not how it is anymore. And so, like I said, dads like David or Randy Cross or Alex as well. It's just interesting to talk to them because so many of them have a much more better understanding about the future and the health and everything else than you did, for instance, back in the 70s, 80s, even the 90s.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wall has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation.
800-783-1759. That's 800-783-1759. 800-783-1759.
A good night's sleep starts with the right pillow. That's where MyPillow comes in, and we're excited to announce the new 4-pack special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special tab, and save 50% off the 4-pack, which includes two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Use promo code SKY at checkout or call 1-800-635-1825. That's 1-800-635-1825. Or go to MyPillow.com, click the 4-pack special tab, and use promo code SKY at checkout.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at Alexander Shannara Law.com.